Now, last week, Kenneth Egan tweeted, "Happy birthday to me, 3,653 days sober. Recovery is possible. Take that first step one day at a time." And Kenneth Egan, the Olympic silver medalist, politician and councillor, is on the line. How are you doing, sir?
How are you, Catherine? How are you keeping?
I am. You're well. Flying it. Good stuff. And a happy belated birthday. That is amazing.
It's what's called an AA birthday, if you like.
Yeah.
10 years. Hard to believe.
How did it feel on the day?
I was a little anxious, to be honest with you. I was actually in England. I was over there with Eric Donovan. He was boxing on the Friday night. And it was obviously the day before the Thursday. But I kept it to myself over there. I was there for the week. And I was just a little bit anxious that was coming up to me. Because it is a special milestone for me. Every year that I'm sober, it's a nice little touch. But to have the decade under your belt,
it's brilliant.
It's a nice feeling, yeah. It's something that I've worked very hard on. And to finally... Now, like Catherine, it's ongoing, though. It's not just 10 years and that's it. You start drinking again. It's just a milestone, but I'll just keep going now a day at a time, you know?
And is it still hard every day?
No, I'm not gonna tell you a lie. It's like I have a fantastic life now. A wife beyond my wildest dreams. And I don't think... I'm not talking about material stuff here. I have a great family. I have a beautiful daughter that I love so much, and I have the simple things in life, you know. I have a roof over my head and a food on the table. But like, some days I'd have a bad day, something could happen, someone could say something to me, and you know, I'd revert to that inner demon and think about drinking. But then I fast forward 10 days from my first drink and see where I'm at.
Yeah.
And it's horrendous and it's carnage and it's not me, you know. It's not me anymore, and I just check myself.
Yeah,
and I'm aware now. I'm very aware of what's going on in my head. So I understand that we get thoughts every day, and I'm very aware of the negative thoughts, and I register them and I just let them pass and I move on then with my day, you know?
Yeah. And before we focus on the good stuff and the positive stuff, can we go back? Because I want to ask you, and like you spoke about it there, when you have that like moment, when you think about it, how bad was your drinking? Like, how bad did it get?
Yeah, like there was times where I was a binge drinking alcoholic, so I would stay off it for a number of weeks and months if I was training and competing. So I was burning the candle at both ends. But it finally caught up me when I was allowing less days to go back into shape before I stepped into the ring. I was cutting the corners too tight, if you like, and drinking those extra few days, and I wasn't giving myself the best opportunity to try and win a fight. You think it's madness even talking about it. I'm in one of the toughest sports in the world and I'm stepping into the ring to fight someone, and I'm not giving myself the best possible chance because I'm drinking those extra few days.
Yeah.
But there was times where I'd drink for a week and a half, 2 weeks every day, nonstop. And you know, I'd be in the same jeans for the 2 weeks, my face be full of stubble, and I'd be hiding from everyone, you know, trying to avoid people. That so if people didn't see me, I was okay. Once I was allowed to drink, and I kept away from everyone, but I'd be urinating in my jeans and still wearing the same jeans and smelling that urine rising when I'm sitting at a bar. That's, you know, that's horrendous stuff. And that was after the Olympic Games.
That's me, known as
Olympic silver medalist. Yeah. So, you know, it's horrendous, that horrible type of stuff. Now, thank God I didn't hurt anyone or harm anyone in me binges, physically, if you like. Or got into a car and drove a car drunk, or none of that type of stuff. So I'm really lucky in that sense that I got out of it. Okay, I destroyed a couple of relationships that I eventually did mend, thank God.
I was about to ask you, because your friends and family, they must have been aware and so incredibly worried. And I suppose when you are just in that space, they don't matter. It's just, you know, you're so sick that you're just going to do what you're going to do. Like, were they aware of the level of the binges?
They were, but when I was drinking, I'd avoid them at all costs, you know. I didn't really come home that much. When I did come home, I was at the end of the bender, and my mum would look at me, you know, and I'd be a different person. I'd have lost a lot of weight, wouldn't be eating properly.
Like, where would you stay for the couple of weeks? Would you just...
Friends, house, hotels, you know, all over the place. It was times when I jumped on airplanes as well and went over to Spain, and obviously New York was another one that was well documented, but just the stupid stuff, making silly decisions.
Did it get worse, Kenneth, after, with the, like, there you are, you've got you're an Olympic medalist, and you know, the first medal since Michael Carruth, like, you were our hero, and the pressure that comes with that was the, because you said it got worse afterwards, was that huge pressure? Or
I think, looking back at it, I always had a problem with drinking. I really, really I had a bad relationship with it, to the point where right back as far as I can remember, Catherine, I've never remembered going out drinking socially. Now, I started drinking at 14 or 15 years of age. So you can imagine, right through my career, I've drank to get drunk. So when I come back from the games with the Olympic medal, like, that Olympic medal got me into recovery quicker because of the fashion I drank in. It was hell for leather. Because in the back of my head, the devil on my shoulder was telling me, now you're after achieving something, now you can celebrate. Now let's go out now and let the hair down. I had no one to answer to, and I just went off the rails. And like I said, that medal got me in quicker. Whereas if I hadn't have won the medal, I'm probably just ended up as an Olympian, which is a fantastic thing. I could have come back and drank at a slower pace, but yeah, still ended up in AA much further down the line, lot after losing an awful lot more. You know,
that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I know in addiction therapy they say don't ask why the addiction, ask why the pain. And have you thought about, like, even, you know, when you're 13, 14, like, why, have you thought about why you were drinking?
Like, I was introduced to alcohol at 13 or 14, and for me it was a way of connecting with people. And there was that and boxing. I started boxing at 8 years of age, and I loved boxing. I loved everything about it, and the making the friends and having fun in the gym. But outside of that, there was a disconnect. I didn't really socialise with people until, and it was just by chance, you bump into a couple of young lads and they end up drinking and you go drinking with them. And from, and it just, it was that immediate connection that I enjoyed how it made me feel. You know, and it allowed me be this other person that could socialise and have the crack and, you know, be this different person. And I always, right back, I always remember that connection. And that's what I thrived right through my life was, you know, that banter and that laugh and that drinking and the things. But obviously, the more I was drinking, the worse I was getting, the states I was getting into, and the carnage around me, like the relationships that I'd broken, had to make amends and all those things. But, you know, that's what I'm doing on a daily basis now for the last 10 years, is trying to help as many people as I can, as long as it's not interfering with my recovery.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know,
and so, as you say, you're trying to be that first step for, and I know you already have been, for a lot of young guys and a lot of young girls. What was the first step for you to turn things around?
There was a few things happening. Like, obviously, I knew when I come back from the games and I was drinking the way I was drinking, I wasn't right. You know, I was letting an awful lot of people down. Like, there was kids at schools with banners with "Welcome Kenny" on, wrote all over them. And, you know, I never turned up, and I'm sitting in town on a high stool. That type of stuff was very, very shameful on my behalf. And I had to make amends to all those people. But the penny really dropped. I was, a lot of those things happened. But I went around to a friend of mine who lives around the corner in my mum's estate. And I knocked on his door. And I knew he was in AA a long time. He was sober 20 years. He brought me into the kitchen. And I said, I think I need to go to a treatment centre. And he says, no. He says, can I? He says, just come to a meeting with me. And I says, yeah, but what if people see me and what if they recognise me? Because again, it's that shame piece again, you know, what if people see me as inferior, you know? And he said, just come sit at the back of the room and we'll just listen. And I went to the meeting and I walked through the door and the first guy said to me, how are you, Kenny? Having a cup of tea? And I kind of just relaxed then. As soon as he offered me the cup of tea, I sat down and I just listened. And when I was listening to the stories, I related to nearly every one of them, Catherine, because I knew I was in the right place, you know? Grown men and women talking real talk. It's not the bullshit talk you have in pubs and high stools. This was real stuff. And I liked what I was hearing. And I was saying, you know what, I think I belong here. And I kept going back. And there was a few things. Like, I drank after. Like, I did drink. I was in AA for 3 months and I was sober. But you probably know, I went to Africa to build houses for some charity. And I ended up drinking on the last day, the going away party. And I drank for 2 weeks after that. And on the 12th of August, I stopped. You know, I was in Nice when my mum walked through the door. I don't know how she found me, but she walked through the pub doors and asked me to get into the car, and we didn't speak all the way home, and I never drank since. You know, but it was a number of things, like the small things. My mum bringing me to the grave as well, on her knees, begging me to stop drinking. Like, the stuff that I brought my family through, they didn't deserve any of that. But at the time, I was blind to all what was happening around me. All I wanted to do was just escape. And that's what addiction is. It's a form of escapism from what's really going on. And once I accepted that, you know, and the first step is, I was powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable. I had to step up and say, you know what, I need to change here.
And accepting is a big part of it. And can I ask you what you think of the word alcoholic?
Yeah, Yeah, like for a long time, I still had shame around that, you know, because for me, an alcoholic slash means that you're inferior to someone else because you have this cloud over your head. But I have no problem now because I've total acceptance to who I am. I have no problem standing up in an AA meeting and saying, "I'm Kenneth, I'm an alcoholic." I have no problem with it at all. And the thing is, if you look into it deeper, like I have an allergy to alcohol. That's what I do say. I have an allergy to alcohol. When I drink, I do stupid things and I don't stop. I react in a manner that's not healthy when I'm associated with alcohol. So the only way I steer clear of it is that allergy is I don't go near it. I have no problem with people drinking, Catherine. People can go out and have their few pints and do whatever they want. I'm not against pubs, I'm not against off licenses. But just at the end of the day, people forget that alcohol is a drug. It's an actual drug, but it's sold across the counter. And it causes more havoc in this, especially in this country, but across the world, than any other drug or all other drugs put together. There's 80 or 90 deaths a month are alcohol related in this country. So there needs to be an education piece around that in schools and in youth centres about alcohol and the dangers of it. Not just alcohol itself, but the actions of it around in a family system, even with abuse and broken homes and all those other things that come with alcohol. It's not just the alcohol itself on the body, you know.
Yeah, and I did an interview a couple of weeks ago with Bryony Gordon, and she's spoken out about her problem and about her being an alcoholic and accepting it. And something that stuck with me, and that got a big reaction here from people, particularly women, was that the couch had become her park bench. And I just thought that was a very evocative way of, you know, maybe how some people were drinking, and you know that old image that we have of an alcoholic sitting on a bench, you know, when we're just surrounded by it, and surrounded by it in the home, and surrounded by it, you know, in pubs and restaurants, as you say. You went on to study addiction. You now counsel people, and I know you do amazing work, and it's just brilliant, Kenneth, honestly, to be as outspoken as you are, and to be now in a position where you know and you walk the walk. So, and as you say, it's not an easy day every day, and that's the message as well for people.
But like I think, you know, like because I'm around a long time now, and I have slipped, and I know what it's like, and I have good, I'm in a good place with recovery. Like sometimes, and as bad as it sounds, and as bad as I come across, may sound to you now, but sometimes when I hear about someone slipping or someone coming into my therapy room with a bad addiction. Like, I need to hear that because that brings me back to where I was and reinforces what I have now is my golden egg, the sobriety that I have. And I never dare let that go. Like, I have a beautiful 4-year-old and a wife and a house and all that. They're all brilliant things to me, but my sobriety is what is the most important thing in my life. And if that goes, Catherine, everything else is gone. That's how important that is to me.
And that's it. And as you say, hold on to it. You're a legend.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that now.
You are.
I'm grateful. I'm very, very grateful for what I have in life now. And gratitude is a big thing. And I think that's lost in people sometimes, you know, when they're worrying about things, to just hone in on what you're grateful for, you know. And I'm very grateful for what I have achieved today, more so outside the ring than I have inside the ring. The medal is fantastic and it's a great achievement. And maybe when I'm 70 or 8 years of age, I'll tell the story about to my daughter about the Olympic success. But my biggest achievement today now is my sobriety a day at a time.
Kenneth Egan, a belated happy birthday to you again. It's a big one and it's an important one, and you are an absolute legend. Stay grateful. Thanks for chatting to me today.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.